1. We'll be reading verse 3 in just a moment. Our living hope. You know, I heard a story about a middle-aged woman that was on a cruise ship, and she saw an attractive man across the deck who turned and smiled at her, and she immediately walked over to him and introduced herself and said, "You sure do look a whole lot like my third husband." His ears perked up and he asked, "Oh, how many times have you been married?" She said, "Just twice." She certainly had hope, amen? Someone has said that hope is to the spirit what breath is to the body. It is essential for life. Hal Lindsey, some people are just now getting it. Hal Lindsey once said, man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. Now, scientifically, that might not be a proven fact, but it does emphasize the importance of hope in our lives. Hope motivates us. Hope sustains us. Hope keeps us moving forward to the future. We all need hope. And there are many people today that are wondering, is there any hope? Is there any hope for my marriage, which seems dead? Is there any hope for the person who is trapped in addiction, whether it's to drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever it might be? Is there any hope for the person who feels so depressed that they see no reason for living? Is there any hope for the person who has just been diagnosed with a terminal illness? Is there any hope for the single mother who feels exhausted and overwhelmed, wondering, how much longer can I do this? Is there any hope for the young person caught in the pain from childhood abuse or neglect or a broken family? Is there any hope for the seemingly successful professional who appears to have it all, but is empty inside and has no sense of purpose or meaning? Is there any hope? Hope is what Easter is all about. Read with me, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Why does it matter that Christ was raised from the dead? Because through his resurrection, we have been given a living hope. Now, we use the word hope oftentimes to mean little more than wishful thinking. For instance, every week, millions of people hope to win the lottery. Not us, because we don't gamble, but millions of people hope to win the lottery. But every week, millions of people are disappointed. Because that kind of hope is nothing more than wishful thinking. It has an element of uncertainty because there is no guarantee. In fact, in that kind of hope, the odds are actually stacked against you that you will lose. But biblical hope speaks of a confident expectation that what we are believing for, what we are desiring, will actually come to pass. And the resurrection is the key to that hope. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, he would have just been some great teacher who taught some powerful life truth. The resurrection, however, means that Jesus is who he said he is. It means that he is God, because only God has the power over life and death. The resurrection means that Jesus has the power to do all that he said that he would do, because he came back from the dead just as he said he would. Hallelujah. The resurrection means that Jesus does what he promises to do. Jesus promised his followers that though he would be killed, he would rise again the third day. And he kept his promise. We can have a living hope because we have a living Lord and Savior. And the hope that he gives us not just a hope for the far and distant future in heaven, but it is a hope for right here, for right now, for whatever we are facing today. In fact, Peter is writing to a group of people who had every reason to be hopeless. They had every reason to be in despair. Because he was writing to Christians who at that very time were suffering terribly for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were being persecuted, and everything in their life was uncertain. Their very life, their future, their family's well-being, everything was uncertain. But instead of a somber note of comfort, this entire letter is filled with the joyful celebration of the hope that belongs to every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the point that Peter is making is that no matter what our present circumstances, the resurrection of Jesus gives us reason to hope. Hallelujah. The first thing I want us to see is that because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have a living hope. And a living hope stands in contrast to a dying hope. William Corrath, an author in the late 19th century, wrote a piece about the journey from childhood to adulthood. And he starts by saying that we are all dreamers of dreams. Children spend their time dreaming, and they have great excitement and expectation for their future because they have never known what it is to have a dream die. They have never known disappointment. So if they dream it, they have an anticipation that it can happen. But as the child grows and becomes an adult, he says, the child starts to experience the death of dream. And the more of his dreams that die, the more disappointment he experiences. And if all of his dreams die, Colrath writes, he is a pitiful man, merely going through the motions of living, but all that is left is to bury him. His point is that when you get disappointed enough, your dreams die. You lose hope for the future. You have nothing to look forward to, nothing to live for. And you look into the eyes of a person like this, and all you see is a vacant stare. When we place our hope in anything on this earth, we will eventually experience disappointment. People will hurt us. Relationships will fail. After working hard at a job for years, restructuring or a bad economy can cause cutbacks and layoffs. Even the attainment of great things or successes that we thought would make us happy disappoint us in the end, because they cannot give us lasting joy and satisfaction. They leave us empty, longing for something more. And that kind of repeated disappointment causes hope to die. But in contrast to a dying hope, Peter speaks of a living hope. What is a living hope? It is a hope that never dies, because it is a hope that never disappoints. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Peter says that this living hope, in verse 4, cannot perish, it cannot spoil, it cannot fade. It is enduring, it is eternal. Now, what I want us to understand is that faith and hope are inseparable. Someone has said that hope expects what faith believes. Hope expects what faith believes. Now, the author of Scripture said in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And James talks about dead faith. He says faith without works is dead. Dead faith is just empty words. There's no value. There's no benefit of it to us. Dead faith is useless. It is unproductive. But in contrast, living faith, and therefore also living hope, because they are inseparably joined together, will be useful, it will be beneficial, it will be productive, because living faith and living hope will yield an expected expected result. Amen. What you are believing for, what you are hoping for, will actually happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Living hope makes a difference in the here and now, because it has the power to produce change in our lives and in our circumstances. This is how Hebrews 4:12 uses the word living. It says the word of God is living and effective. And by living, he means that it is powerful to effect change. Living hope is a certain confidence that God has the power to effect change in our lives and in our circumstances right here, right now, today, in whatever we are facing. Hallelujah. And where does a living hope come from? A living hope comes from God. We look again at verse 3. He says, in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. You see, living hope is a gift from God. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. We can't work ourselves into it. It is the voluntary act of a merciful God who did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Living hope does not come from our circumstances. If you look at your circumstances, you will be disappointed. If you look at people, you will be disappointed. But our living hope comes from Christ, because he will never disappoint us. Hallelujah. Living hope doesn't come from anything that we can do, but it comes from what Christ has done for us in his death and resurrection. Because he lived, we have been given a new birth or a new life. Hallelujah. No matter our past, no matter our sins, no matter our failures, no matter our mistakes or disappointment, our living hope is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes available to us a brand new life through faith. Hallelujah. It is the new life that Jesus gave to a woman who had been divorced 5 times. And when he met her, she was living in fornication with a man. But Jesus gave her a brand new life, and she became the first evangelist of the New Testament. It is the new life that Jesus gave to a man named Zach, who had gotten rich by cheating and taking advantage of other people. And yet, despite all of his wealth and success, he found life empty. But when he met Jesus, he got a brand new life. And the scripture says he gave away half of all of his wealth because he knew that it could not bring him joy or meaning in his life. It is the new life that a young man who had gone far into sin, who ruined his life and hit bottom, found when he returned to his father and received forgiveness and a new start. That is the kind of new life that he gives to us through faith. Many of us here today could tell of how we have received a brand new life in Christ. Some could tell of how we were once alcoholics or addicts involved or involved in a string of sexual relationships or have gone through various failed marriages or whatever it might be. But through Jesus, we have received a new life. We are changed. We are forgiven. We are a different person. We are a new person. We are a better person in Christ. Some here today could tell of how they attained success. They had the big house, the nice car, the good career, the big bank account. But our lives were empty and meaningless until Jesus found us, and he has given us a new life, and he has filled us with hope, and he has filled us with purpose. He has given our life meaning, and he has filled us with joy. Hallelujah. And even now, if we blow it, if we fail, if we sin, we have confidence that we can come to him, that we can repent, and we can find forgiveness and restoration in him. That is our living hope, and it can be yours too. Hallelujah. Secondly, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have an eternal hope. Verse 4 says, we have an inheritance that can never spoil, perish, or fade, an inheritance that is being kept for us in the heavens. Because of this hope, we have a better future. Death is not the end. Because Jesus came back from the dead, we have hope of eternal life. If we live for this life only, then our existence is most miserable and meaningless, because this earthly life will one day end, and all that we have and all that we have accomplished will mean nothing. Not too long ago, a well-known minister and his wife were suddenly killed in a plane crash, I believe, over the Bahamas. If all they had lived for was this earthly life, then their death is a miserable and tragic end. But because they lived for Christ, they continue to live on, and the scripture says their works follow them. Everything they've done for Christ follows them into eternity. Hallelujah. It was not futile. It was not wasted. The only thing that will last for eternity is a life that is lived for Christ. If we have devoted ourselves to Christ and have lived our life in service to Him, then our works endure. What we did in this life will matter in eternity. Hallelujah. And because of this hope, we know, we are confident that heaven is our home. No matter how good or bad life on this earth might be, we have been promised a far better eternal future. Little Lord Fauntleroy, a classic novel, tells of a young boy living with his mother in America in the depths of poverty. But one day, he learns that his father was from British nobility, and his grandfather sends for him, and he goes to England, and he suddenly finds himself living in a life of wealth and luxury. He is the heir of all of his father's estate. Folks, that is what Christ has done for us. We have been living here in the poverty of our earthly existence. And I'm not just talking about financial poverty. I'm talking about the emptiness and the futility of this earthly life. And we have been living here in the poverty of this earthly life. But one day we discover that we are the sons and daughters of the King. Hallelujah! As we believe upon Jesus, we are made the children of God. And the Bible says we become heirs and joint heirs with Christ. This now means that all of God's estate, hallelujah, all that is God is ours both now and forever, hallelujah. And then thirdly, because of Jesus' resurrection, we have a present hope. A present hope. And that means that we have reason to live. We have reason to go on. Colossians 3:4 says, Christ is our life. He is our reason to live. You see, we've been made by God for relationship with Him. We were created to love and to serve God. And until you understand that and enter into a relationship with God through His Son, until you understand that, life will never make sense, and life will always end up empty and unfulfilling. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, Paul says, He died so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and was raised to life for our sake. What is God telling us in that verse? He's telling us that we weren't made to live for ourselves. When we live for ourselves, that is when life is empty. That is when life is futile. That is when life is joyless. We were not created to live for ourselves. And not until we begin to live for Him will our life really start to have meaning and purpose and lasting joy. We have a reason to live. And we also have the resources to live. You see, if we were to read on in 1 Peter verses 5 through 7, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, Peter tells us that in this life, we will go through all kinds of trials and difficulties. But he says God's power will keep us. Amen. You see, the resurrection means that nothing is impossible to him. It means that whatever we face, we can find help in him if we will trust and hold to his hand. Is there any hope? Is there any hope for what you're going through? Is there any hope for the emptiness you feel? Is there any hope for the problem in your marriage? Is there any hope for the situation in your family? Is there any hope for the joylessness, for the meaninglessness, for the emptiness that you feel? Is there any hope? Easter answers with a resounding yes. The resurrection means that Jesus came back from the dead. He came back from the darkest, most impossible situation, and he came back for you, even though you were not looking for him. He came back to give you a living hope, no matter what your past. The resurrection of Jesus makes available a brand new life. He gives us a future hope. Death is not the end. The grave does not have to be feared. He has promised us an eternal home in the heavens. And he gives us hope in the present. We have a purpose for living. And we also have the power to help us. Whatever we face. But there is only one way to receive that gift of hope, and it is to place our faith in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that there is hope. Because Jesus died and rose again. There is hope for us when we are dead in our trespasses and sins, because by faith you will make us alive again. There is hope when our dreams, when our life, when our marriage, when situations seem dead, because there is nothing impossible for you, Lord God. We thank you that we can always find hope when we place our faith in you. Father, I pray this morning, first of all, for anyone here today that does not yet know you in a personal and living way, I pray that they will find in you the hope of new life this morning, a new start, a new beginning, the forgiveness of sins, and a relationship with you. And I pray for those of you, those here today, Lord, that even though they know you and have a relationship with you, they are facing manifold trials, as Peter said, many trials, many difficulties. And sometimes the enemy comes and causes us to doubt and to struggle in our faith. But I pray this morning that hope would be renewed in each and every heart today. Have your way in our lives and renew hope in Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask first if there's anyone here today that, you know, you may have heard about Jesus before in the past. You may have heard how he came from heaven, how he lived a sinless life, how he died on the cross, and how he rose again the third day. And in your mind, you might even agree with those facts as they're true. But if you have not personally responded to Christ and placed your faith in him and claimed him as your Savior and as your Lord, asking him to forgive you of your sins, repenting of your sinful life, the word repent simply means to turn away from, and turn to him in faith and welcome him into your life as your Lord to live inside of you and to help you to live a life that is pleasing to him. If you have not yet done that, he invites you to come to him today. Because until you do that, no matter what you know about him, is of no benefit to you. It is only as you place your faith in him that you experience the power of his death and resurrection. It is only as you place your faith in him that you experience that new life, that new birth that we just read of.
And if you're here today and you have never done that, you've never placed your faith in Jesus, repented of your sins, and invited him to be your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you did it years ago and you've drifted away and you know that you need to come back to him. Then I want to ask you this morning, if that's you, just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to come to Jesus this morning. Is there anyone today? Just slip your hand right up and let us pray with you. As you slip your hand up, you're just saying, pray for me, Pastor. I want to come to Jesus this morning. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to receive that new birth. Thank you for that hand. Is there someone else? I want that hope, that living hope that you spoke about this morning. Is there anyone else? Just slip your hand right up. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. I'm going to ask those that raised your hand if you'll just do one more thing. Would you just slip out from your seat and come right down here and meet me at this altar? All we want to do is to pray with you, just to lead you in a simple prayer to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. There's nothing to be afraid or ashamed of. This is absolutely the best decision that you'll ever make. And we are happy for you. Would you just slip out and come? If you raised your hand, just slip out and come. Meet me right down here at this altar. Hallelujah. Those that raised your hand, just slip out and come. There are people waiting to pray for you down here. You can come at any time. Just come to one of these ladies that's waiting down here. They'll pray with you because I must move on with the service. I'm going to speak to those of you that have already given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning you may find yourself facing some of the manifold trials that Peter spoke about, difficulties in your life that have just made you struggle in your faith, maybe question, maybe drift away from God. And this morning you need your hope to be renewed. If that's you, I want to ask you just to slip out and come to this altar this morning. Would you do that? Just slip out and come to this altar and say, God, I just need my hope in you to be renewed this morning. Renew me in my inner man. Just slip out and come to this altar if that's you. Hallelujah. There's nothing to be afraid or ashamed of, church. Let's respond to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come ahead. Come ahead. Hallelujah. Nothing to be afraid or embarrassed about, church. We need to respond when the Holy Spirit is speaking and moving upon our heart. Doesn't matter who you are or how long you've been in church. Don't be embarrassed. Don't ever be embarrassed to come to this altar. That's what this altar is for. Would you just slip out and come? And if we could have some of our prayer ministers to come and pray with these that are here right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for each of these that has responded to your word, Lord God. Father, we pray right now that you would just minister to their hearts, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would just encourage them in their inner man, Lord God. That you would strengthen them in their spirit, Lord. Father, that you would just renew hope in their lives this morning, oh God. That they might fix their eyes upon you and they would not be moved by their circumstances, Lord God. But that their feet would be firmly planted upon the rock of Jesus Christ, that they might not be shaken, oh God. Father, touch them this morning and minister to their hearts in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.